Before I start, let me give you some announcements. I'm sure that all of you know that we are celebrating 100 years of ministry in Sugar Land and in this county, and this is a great time of celebration. So every birthday party has to have birthday presents, right? Yes. How many can say amen? How many of you like presents? Oh, like presents? Yes. How many of you like to give presents? All right. So this is your chance to give presents, a present to our church. We are trying to put $100,000, and I'm sure we can do it, and we can go beyond, okay? Go beyond on this $100,000 for our 100th birthday. So do we have a video? No? No video. Okay. All right. Now, next Sunday, talking about parties and all that, next Sunday, next week, is the fifth Sunday on the month of June. There's only one service. It also means what? Yes, food, all right? Yeah. Okay, don't worry, we'll get here. We will be the Baptist on the restaurants today. Okay, my sermon is short. So next Sunday, we will have a good Sunday. It's a 10 o'clock service, I'm sorry. And we are going to have a potluck. We're going to have hot dogs, and we are inviting the congregation to bring a slide dish or a dessert, okay? We are also, I can see better now. Okay, we also are having this welcome tent you saw outside. We are needing 80 volunteers for the curbside and the front door, and so it's about 10 people per week, 6 people per service. So on your cards that you have on the pews, sign up. We are looking for some people who want to serve and want to tell others they are welcome in our church. So all of you have your bulletins. Is there one thing that I'm sure I'm missing? One announcement note. Okay. The one he will tell us about this special program that we will have in the near future. Right now, dessert. Okay, that's my wife. So you didn't know who it was. Fantastic. Well, next thing I want to tell you is that I'm finishing my third year here in church, and the bishop had appointed me for one more year. Thank you. And let me tell you, this has been a church that is being very wonderful to me. It's full of teachers. A lot of people are teaching me a lot of things. Hear a lot of expressions that I never used before, never heard before, and I learn new meanings of some of these expressions, like a deep guacamole. You know who says that? My professor Marty. Okay, he's always saying that. I learned from where I come from. Guacamole once means only one thing and one thing only. Okay, and this is a long time. Now, I'm learning new things around here. How many of you were here last Sunday? I did really enjoy Dr. Watson's message. His message was based on the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. And Dr. Watson told us that we need to choose who we love. In that very same scripture, what I see is that we need to decide our identity as well. If you open your Bibles on Joshua chapter 24, I will read the verses 14 and 15, and I want you to pay attention what that people at the time had to decide and had to do. The scripture says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." If you have your Bible, I want you to highlight with the expression that says, "Throw away the gods of your ancestors." That means action. Verse 15, "But if you serve the Lord, seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Last week we were meditating on this scripture, and we were learning that we are living tough times. And we are learning that we are living today in very difficult times. But today I want to tell you that our convictions define our identity. Our convictions define our identity. Whatever you believe defines who you are. I'm saying that we are living difficult times, very dangerous times. Some of you who have been adults for some time before the beginning of this century may be feeling like somebody changed the rules of the game in the middle of the game. You may be feeling that some of the things that you learned in the past are no longer valid. We are living in times that our society describes as a postmodern era. And postmodernism is an intellectual stance or a mode of discourse that rejects the possibility of reliable knowledge, denies the existence to pull away, of a universal and stable reality, and frames atheistics as beauty, as arbitrary and subjective. Church, this time is characterized by attitudes of skepticism, irony, or rejection toward the grand narratives and ideologies of modernism. In other words, this society seems to imply that the Bible is a book from the past, that what the Bible teaches are teachings from the past and rules that do not no longer apply. Therefore, it's concluded that we are living in a post-Christian era. Even some politicians have declared that this nation is no longer a Christian nation. Society is trying to define our life as Christians. There are philosophies here and there. You will hear preachers saying that Jesus was not the Son of God. You will hear bishops saying that Jesus was not God. You will hear religious people saying things that the Bible does not agree. So this is the time for you and I to go back to the Bible and see by ourselves who we are. Because our identity does not depend on the perception of the world on us. Our identity depends on Christ. Are you with me? Our identity does not depend what the world or Hollywood or politicians says about you. Your identity depends on your relationship with God and with your relationship with Christ. So I invite you to be with me for the next few weeks in this journey that we are calling it our life or our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ. This morning, we are going to start from the beginning. We're going to go back to the first letter of Peter in chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. And the NIV version says, but you are chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I remember my days in the early part of this century when I was in Chicago in my seminary classes. There was a class that was called Advanced Preaching. And in this advanced, quote-unquote, advanced preaching, we were kind of being retrained to preach. And one of the remarks of my professor was that I was preaching too preachy. And I said, well, it's because I'm preaching. And they were trying to make it more like a conversational. You see what I'm saying? More like a talk. But it said, if I'm preaching, I'm preaching. If I'm talking and having a conversation, then I will have a conversation. I will not sound preachy when I'm having a conversation. When I'm preaching, I'm preaching. Because what I'm preaching, I'm not preaching out of my own ideas. What I'm preaching is the Word of God. And every time when I come here, I feel the responsibility to preach what that book is saying and telling me to preach. Because my identity depends on Christ. My identity depends on what Christ is telling me. If you see this first letter of Peter, you'll see what you are now. You are someone wonderful. You are somebody very special. In the Bible, it says you are chosen people. When I see that, that makes me feel that I am somebody special. You are chosen people. You are royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession. That you may declare, here's the key expression, and I want you to highlight that. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. In other words, what the Bible is saying here is that At one time, you were part of the kingdom of darkness. Are you with me? At one time, you were not child of God. At one time, yes, you were created to the image of God. But it is the scripture is saying that it's not until we receive Jesus as Lord, as Savior, when we become children of God. Now, it is important for us to understand that, yes, we are now this, but we need to remember where we come from. Because there are many others who are still there. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians in the second chapter, he begins by saying, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are what? Disobedient." I always say that one of the first words that we humans learn is the word no. Okay? As a matter of fact, I know of somebody who integrated the no into his name. It's not Noel, okay? But, you know, when we're kids and we just begin to wander around and discovering the world, the people who love us try to set limits, barriers. I mean, this is beyond you. And they try by saying very nicely, with sweet voice, they said, no. Or you can say, no, 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 no. But soon after, they will learn that, hey, this sweet voice is not working out. They had to use a different tone, like a no. And then if that doesn't work, it says, no, that I say, don't do that. Well, that's the way with some of us we were raised up, you know, back in the old days. Nowadays, I don't know how they kept up with these children. Hey, I remember those days. But did we learn? Did you learn? No. You continue to challenge those. So you continue on your mode of being, what the scripture said, being disobedient. Did you notice the scriptures was saying disobedient? In this second chapter of Ephesians, it's a spirit that is now to work in those who are disobedient. Now, what the Bible is saying, that we were, number one, living in the darkness. Now, without Christ, we were dead in our transgressions and in our sins. Without Christ, you live in darkness. Without Christ, you live in your transgressions. Without Christ, you live in your sins. But whoa, what a wonderful God we have. Everybody said, I have a wonderful God. But this wonderful God of ours, this wonderful God of ours, provided for us. We Methodists have this description that says prevenient grace. And prevenient grace is the divine grace that precedes human decision. In other words, God will start showing his love toward an individual at a certain point of his lifetime. Our book of discipline defines as prevenient grace as the love, the divine love that surrounds all humans and precedes any and all of our conscious impulses. Even when you decide to receive Jesus, God is at work. He's providing the means for you to you so you can come into that understanding. So what we're saying here is that this God of ours wanted something great for all of us. He wanted to show you that he loved you very much. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us on this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's way to show his love. That's God's way to show his love for you and for me. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that a wonderful message? Isn't that a wonderful grace that God provides for all of us? Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, but when the set time had full come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. So don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. Don't just say, hey, I'm a royal priesthood. Okay? Don't feel more than you are. Remember where you come from. Well, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember the price that he was paid for your salvation. So remember that without Christ, you were in darkness, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, and everything changed when you came to Christ. In our journey of our identity in Christ, we will continue to learn more because, wait, this is not the end. So everybody said, I want to hear more. Well, you're going to have to wait. Because we are going to learn some more about this. So just for today, remember where you come from. What you were before you invited Christ to your life. What was your life before Christ? And be thankful. And say, Lord, thank you. Because everything that I have, everything that I am now in Christ comes from you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, we thank you. Because of this prevenient grace of yours. When we deserve nothing but punishment, when we deserve nothing but a spanking or reprimand, Lord, your mighty hand was there showing us that you love us. And you love us so much that you send your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to come and change our lives, to give us salvation, to give us promises, to give us a lot more. So, Father, as we go out today, when we go out today, we would be determined to share our story, where we were, and what Jesus did, and what we are now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite the ushers to come.